This is Fresh Air. Blanche on the Lam is a murder mystery, but the larger mystery facing the heroine is how she can make a living, support her kids, and get the respect she deserves. Blanche is an African-American woman reluctantly working as a live-in maid. Blanche on the Lam is the first book by my guest Barbara Neely. It just came out in paperback. Before she tells us why she created Blanche, let's hear a reading from the book. I'll let Barbara Neely set the scene.
In this scene, Blanche comes upon her employer, obviously in a state of distress over another member of the household. And she's trying to get some sense of what is happening without getting involved. She's not violent, is she, ma'am? Oh, no, nothing like that. She covered her face and sobbed softly for a few minutes. Finally, she raised her head and looked at Blanche. Blanche was unimpressed by the tears and Grace's Mammy Save Me eyes. Mammy Savers regularly peeped out at her from the faces of some white women for whom she worked, and lately, in this age of the touchy-feely model of manhood, an occasional white man. It happened when an employer was struck by family disaster or grew too compulsive about owning everything, too overwrought or downright frightened by who and what they were. She never ceased to be amazed at how many white people longed for Aunt Jemima. They'd ease into the kitchen and hem and haw their way through some sordid personal tale. She'd listen and make sympathetic noises. She rarely asked questions, except to clarify the life lessons their stories conveyed, or to elicit some detail that would make their story more amusing to her friends. She told employers who asked what she would do in their place or what she thought they ought to do. "I sure wish I knew, I truly do," accompanied by a slow, sad smile, a matching shake of her head and arms folded tightly across her chest. Now Blanche knew that if she went to Grace, put her hand on the woman's shoulder and looked concerned, it was likely Grace would bear the family soul. But Blanche didn't yet know whether Grace was the kind of person who both longed for someone on whom to unburden herself and was then grateful to the listener, or the kind of person who resented the listener for catching her at a weak moment. She took a half step forward, hesitated, then crossed the room to where Grace sat. "Is there anything I can do for you, ma'am?" Whether she cared or not, there were certain expected forms to be observed.
Barbara Neely, why did you create a domestic worker as your main character for your fiction?
Well, you know, I really wanted to write about race, class, and gender in America in a way that wouldn't frighten people to death and would be both amusing and informative. And a domestic worker seemed the perfect vehicle for doing that.
Why?
Well, here is a person who, according to the larger society, has no worldview, no inner life, no story to tell, who in fact has a great deal to say about the world in which we live because she is, in most instances, an observer who gets to see it all, comment on it internally, but is essentially invisible to the rest of the society.
Now, there are a lot of places, like in the passage you just read, where Blanche has to always guess what the white employers want from her, and then she has to guess how they'll react if she delivers on that. Do you think that that's true of a lot of relations between African Americans and white people in general, or do you think that that kind of guessing is more specific to this, black domestic worker, white wealthy employer relationship?
Certainly, I think the relationship that an African-American person is having with a white person dictates how much guessing has to go on our part. But you know, Terry, we have always said ever since we've been in this country that we know white folks better than they know us because we have essentially been invisible in the society. And we are used to having to do that kind of second guessing. I mean, historically, people ended up hanging from trees because they didn't make the right assumption about what it was that white folks wanted. So I think it's fairly common for us to both do that and be able to do it. But even in a larger sense, I think that this is very much a sort of class-bound relationship, and that you will find that white folks who are part of the service industry, for example, have very many of the same attitudes that Blanche has towards their employers. Folks who've come to readings have talked about the fact, especially white folks. I remember a man in Philadelphia who was a truck driver, a white truck driver, talked about the fact that he appreciated Blanche's invisibility because it was something that he himself suffered from, that the folks to whose houses he delivered expensive goods rarely saw him as anything other than a part of a moving machine. So I do think it's as much class-bound as it is race-bound.
Now, I want to get back to the passage that you just read in which Blanche is thinking about how white employers always want to unburden themselves to the black hired help, and she's trying to figure out how to handle this. How did you know about that?
Well, I had two grandmothers who did domestic work, and they had many friends, of course, who did domestic work. I remember hearing them talk as a child about how they were expected to do for their employers what they generally paid their psychiatrists and therapists hundreds of dollars for doing, and that is listening to their problems and coming up with some sort of solution to them. The women that I know who did domestic work talked about that a great deal and laughed about it a lot as well.
The relationship that the maid has with the babies she has to take care of and the elderly and infirm who she has to care for. Blanche understands how you can love some of the people who you care for, but she thinks you'd be a fool to think that they really love you.
Because the proof is in the pudding, ultimately. I mean, you know the people who love you by the way they treat you. And if they do not pay you a decent wage and they don't give you a decent vacation, then what is the definition of love? I mean, certainly they love their families and they don't treat them the way they treat the domestic help. So this is something that Blanche and I think lots of domestic workers and lots of service workers, you know, really understand, that there is this sort of mythology about who they are and how they operate and how they love that has really been developed, I think, to protect employers from the knowledge of how they're exploiting folks.
My guest is Barbara Neely. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Barbara Neely, author of the mystery novel Blanche on the Lam. The character that you've created, Blanche, is, as you've once said, someone who probably wouldn't describe herself as a feminist, but behaves like one.
Oh, yes.
Why did you want her to behave like one, but not identify as one?
Well, because I think that makes her very much a woman of the moment, in the sense that I believe that there are lots of poor and working class women out there who, in fact, are the people who push feminism on the job and in the community, but who have never read feminist theory, probably would want you to define exactly what it is that you mean by feminist, but at the same time are very, very concerned about their equality in the workplace, certainly know that they are equal to any man out there in the world. And so for me, are actually the sort of behavioral feminists. You know, there are the feminists who are working on the theory, and then there are the feminists on the front line. And I think that Blanche and women like her are, in fact, the feminists on the front line. She's very much like the women that I grew up with, who, as far as I know, never identified themselves as feminist, but, you know, try to treat them like second-class citizens and see what happens to you.
Where do you place yourself?
Oh, there's no question in my mind. I am a staunch, hard-line, hard-fried feminist. Always have been and expect always to be.
Your character, Blanche, says it was hard for her to become her own woman and get out from her mother's strong hand. Did you have a very strong mother?
All the women in my family are extremely strong, and I think that all of us have to arm wrestle to get our freedom, probably because our mothers are so aware of all of the horrendous stuff that waits for you out there as a young African-American woman. And they hold on to us because they care about us. But it isn't done in a way that sort of makes you feel as though your life is always going to be truncated. You just start about the age of 17 thinking about what you're going to do when you leave home. But I was very grateful for that. I think that I was very lucky to grow up with the women with whom I did grow up. I had many mothers, as you often do in an extended family, both my mother's girlfriends and cousins and aunts and other folks. And I think it's kind of life that lots of people could benefit from.
Now, your character Blanche never wanted to be a mother, but her sister died of cancer and left Blanche with her two children. Why did you create that kind of arrangement in your novel? A woman who didn't want to be a mother, who isn't married, but ends up with two children who she at first resents having to take care of, but really grows to love very, very deeply.
I think this is a very real situation in communities of color and other poor communities where folks take on the responsibility of taking care of children who are orphaned in the family. My reason for doing it this way really was that I don't have any children, and I wasn't really comfortable writing about Blanche as a mother. At the same time, it seemed very artificial to me for her not to have children, since that is so rare in our community to find women who are childless, especially childless by choice. And I knew that children had to be in there somewhere, so this seemed to be a situation that I could handle, since I do have a niece and nephew that I'm absolutely mad about.
So how come you decided to not have children? That might be too personal, so you could just let me know.
I don't really mind answering it. You know, I've been feeling more and more, it seems to me that women who have chosen not to have children are slightly besieged these days. And so it feels important for me to sort of stick up for us. I decided not to have children because I didn't think that I would be willing to put the kind of energy and time into raising a child that I think it takes. I think that it was easier for me to make that decision knowing that there would be children in my life. That is, that my sister has a child or now has two children, that my cousins have children, that I would be a part of children's lives and they would be a part of my life. But I didn't want to do a half good job at it.
Blanche on the Lam is your first book. Mm-hmm. You're in your early 50s now. Did you start writing later in life?
I did. I didn't start writing until I was in my late 30s, actually. It took me a long time, I think partly to decide that I had something to say. I've always been encouraged to write, you know, through school and university, but I never saw it as a viable way of making a living. It was always something that, you know, you did if you had time and you did for fun. But I got to a point in my life where I actually had to do it. I mean, the writing was something that became so important to me that I didn't think I would be able to function unless I began to take myself seriously as a writer.
Oh, what was happening to you? What were the symptoms?
Well, you know, one of the things that happened, and I think the thing that really moved me to do this, as I said, I've been writing off and on all of my life some poetry that if anybody ever sees any of it, I am going to swear was written by somebody with the same name, but not me. And, you know, short stories for friends for birthdays and that sort of thing. And thinking more and more as I got older that I really did want to write, but not being necessarily prepared to take the risk. I was in San Francisco and walking down Market Street at Powell, where the streetcar turns around. There was a San Francisco street band playing, and an old black woman came up and started dancing in front of the band. And there were lots of folks standing around laughing, and certainly laughing at her. But she began to dance in a way that sort of silenced the crowd. That is, she would make eye contact with sort of random people in the crowd and point her finger at them and look at them in a very serious way. And I swear, Terry, when this woman looked at me, I could hear her say, "Darling, if you want to dance, you better do it today." I went back to my room at the San Francisco Residence Club and began writing that woman's story, which I never finished. I have about three boxes of notes in my basement. But it was at that point that I began to write seriously. And as I said, that was, late 70s. And I think my first short story was published in 80 or 81.
Strange how what we project onto a stranger can have such a profound impact.
Absolutely. You know, clearly it was time for me to do that,
yeah,
whether this woman showed up or not.
Because she didn't really say a word to you,
no,
right?
She didn't say a word to me, but, you know, she clearly triggered something in me. And I think that part of that was the fact that I was a woman in my 30s, and if I wasn't going to do it then, when was I going to do it?
It's almost like you needed to project onto like some older woman the permission that you needed to take yourself seriously.
Well, you know, now that you mention it, that probably is true. And it sort of fits with my whole life, because there have always been in my family older women who I have turned to say yes or no. I think this is a good idea, or I think this is a bad idea. I didn't necessarily listen to them, unfortunately. But I do expect to turn to older women for advice.
Barbara Neely, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. I really enjoyed it.
Barbara Neely's novel Blanche on the Lam just came out in paperback. A second Blanche novel is in the works. This is Fresh Air.